The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise again in 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned a crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
The text of today's gospel given to us to lead us in the journey of life comes from the book of Mark. So let me reach into this reading and summon from it something that might have meaning to you and to me as we follow Jesus Christ. The setting is Caesarea Philippi. Very few, if any, people who are pilgrims have gone to Caesarea Philippi. It's out of the way. It's about 30 miles northeast of the Sea of Galilee. And this is the only time in all four Gospels where Jesus is found at Caesarea Philippi. I haven't been there for a number of years, but I've been there in the past. It's a place of quiet. Now it's called Banias. Since it was originally named Panias after the Greek Roman god Pan, the god of nature, and also interesting, god of mountains and fields and streams, but also interestingly, the god of shepherds. This Greek Roman god Pan. And if you go there today on the rock formations, it's just on the border of Lebanon. You can see various insignia that were left there since before the time of Christ, dedicating this area to the god Pan. It's in that area that we hear about in the newspapers occasionally, called the Golan Heights. It was a place of great conflict in the 1967 war between Israel and Syria. That's the setting. And it's a long journey, so it's 3 days walking. And therefore, it must have some very significant teaching, since they went out of the way to Caesarea Philippi so that Jesus could speak a special understanding of the gospel. And with his disciples at Caesarea Philippi, he asks this curious question: who do people say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're one of the prophets, but who do you say that I am? And Peter speaks up and he said, you are the Christ, meaning you're the Messiah, you're the one that was spoken about in the Hebrew Scriptures, you are the one we were expecting that would redeem all people. You are the Christ. And now comes a very strange admonition from Jesus. He said, tell no one that I am the Christ. A strange statement by Jesus to Peter. He says, you are the Christ, but don't tell anybody that I am the Christ, because you don't know who the Christ is. Even though you make a profession of faith, you do not understand. And then Jesus goes on to say, the Son of Man must suffer. He must be rejected. He will be judged. He will be betrayed. He will die, and he will rise from the dead. Peter doesn't hear about rising from the dead. He hears about the suffering. And he said, God forbid this should happen to you. This cannot happen to you. And Jesus reprimands him sternly. Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking like the world. You are not thinking about the prophetic appearance of God in the Christ. What does this mean to us? When I was a young boy growing up serving Mass, certain priests inspired me, not all priests. I mean, I was taught by some priests in high school, and if that's all I had, I'd be a Jehovah's Witness today. But that's another thing. But we had priests in our parish who inspired me. We held them in high esteem. They were said to be wise. They consoled people. They healed people. They were present in a time of crisis in the lives of people. They were admired, exalted. They were considered men apart. Something superior about these men. They had an understanding of life, and they could preach a gospel about life here and hereafter. They could tell you how to save your soul. Wow, that's an extraordinary vocation. And I said, wow, I think I would like to be a priest like that. I would like to have the answers, and I would like to be able to help people here and into eternal life. I would like to be an instrument of God's forgiveness. Wow, the one who dispenses the forgiveness of God. Wow, what an ideal life. And so I went to the seminary. When I became a young priest, I was esteemed. I was given all sorts of applause. I had experienced success as a priest. I was the youngest Monsignor in the Archdiocese. All the things lifted me up and affirmed me. But I did not know who the Christ was. I was like Peter. I knew about the miracles. I knew the extraordinary things about Jesus Christ, but I did not hear about his suffering. I didn't hear Jesus saying, if you want to follow me, you must take up your cross. I didn't hear that. I heard all the wonderful, positive things. Later, in my journey as a priest, having preached the law, the rigors of the law, having preached about guilt and hell and eternal punishment, then I began to discover, maybe I don't know the Christ. Until I have seen the Christ suffer, be rejected, until I myself have experienced that. And I began to wonder to myself, was I called to suffer? Was that part of my vocation? Was I called to suffer rejection and misunderstanding? Was I called to be lonely in my life? Was I called to be misunderstood? to be overlooked? Was I called to carry the burdens of guilt in my life? What is my vocation as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a follower of the Lord? To what was I called? Like Peter, I said, God forbid that I should be called to embarrassment or failure. God forbid that I should be found in sin and need the forgiveness of God. That's not part of my vocation. I have to be beyond that. And then life became real. And I began to discover the beauty of my humanity. And in my brokenness and my darkness and my struggle, I met the Christ. Then I began to understand what the messianic secret was. The secret is, you can't preach Jesus Christ and you cannot witness Jesus Christ until you have experienced his darkness, his rejection, his passion, his death, and his resurrection. Until that time, you cannot witness who the Christ is. How did I change? Well, age changed me. That changes a person. Age has its own teaching. You changed me. I saw beauty and goodness in every one of you. The person who came to me who was struggling, who was told you are left out, you don't belong, you spoke to me about the suffering of Christ. You became Christ to me. Now that I had discovered my own weakness, my own poverty, now that I had met the true Christ, not in my triumph, not in being elite and being honored and being esteemed, but in my poverty, that's where I met Jesus Christ. That's true for every one of us. It's in your moments of darkness, in your struggles, in your questions, in your doubts, that's where you meet the Christ. Not the triumphant Christ, but the suffering Christ, the one who is lonely and rejected and empty. That's where I am. That's where I meet the Christ. That's the meaning of this gospel. In your most desperate moments in your life, in the moments of darkness in your life, reversal, rejection, misunderstanding, pause, Christ is there. That's the messianic secret. It's not in triumph, popularity. That's not where you meet Christ. You meet Christ in the flesh and the blood of everyday living. That's our prayer. That's the place where God speaks to us in truth. Only in that place can you find an experience of the infinite love of God. So never overlook the teaching of the grace, or the revelation, or God's presence in the most difficult, challenging times of life. That's where I met the Christ. Not in applause, not popularity. That's all worldly stuff. That's why Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are thinking like the world. You are thinking when you follow Christ, you're going to win the lotto. And everything is going to be perfect when I follow Christ. Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking like the world. You are not connecting with the true Christ. Only when we have discovered in our own poverty and emptiness, the person of Jesus Christ. Only then can we think or experience resurrection and new life. Only in our own humanity can we begin to understand the primacy of relationship over law, the primacy of relationship with Jesus Christ over the law. If you walk in relationship with Jesus Christ, the law will fit into place. If you preach only the law, you might have missed the experience of the Christ. You want to keep that in mind. And here's the final word I have. Here's a story that I've used before in a homily. It comes from Russian mythology. It's a story about Peter and Ivan. Now, Peter and Ivan are very close friends. They're like brothers. They're close friends. They drink a lot of vodka together. Sometimes people who drink a lot become close friends in their drinking. And one evening, they're in the tavern, and they're well into their drinking. And Peter says to Ivan, "Ivan, do you love me?" And Ivan says, "Peter, of course I love you. You're my best friend." And then Peter says, "Ivan, do you know what pains me?" And Ivan says, "How could I know what pains you?" To which Peter says, "If you don't know what pains me, how can you say you love me?"